you're in search of a great new bottle of wine, or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Oh, you glorified fry cook.
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Happy vernal equinox.
Say what?
Yesterday was March 20th, vernal equinox.
Oh, okay.
Which many people confuse with being the first day of spring.
Yeah.
Which isn't.
I kind of saw, and maybe Bill Venture will back me on this, but there's like a first day of spring for different parts of the U.S.
Yeah, it depends on where you're, I think he says the longitudinal line is.
Yeah. Where was it ours yesterday?
No. Ours was in February.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. I knew it was different.
Yeah. It was a week late this year because we had, you know, we actually had a week of winter this year.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just 1 week, 3 days of winter is what we had in Mobile this year. And people are losing it. Like, it was like that from November 1st to March 1st.
Mm-hmm.
3 days, people. We had 3 days of winter this year.
Yeah.
3 days.
Yeah.
That's actually half what we normally get. We had fewer freezing nights this year than we have in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Isn't that crazy?
Hey, Stu.
Hey.
Welcome to the Sip and Chew Show.
Hey, that's what this is. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
It is that. It is. It's a beautiful day outside.
Are you sip or are you...
I was sipping last night. I did do some sipping last night.
I had a brewski yesterday.
Did you?
Yep. I did something we don't often do.
What's that?
The two of us. I went to a chain restaurant. Nationally known chain restaurant.
Yeah, which one?
Hooters. It is nostalgic.
I just can't, you know...
Well, first off, nobody's wings taste like Hooters. Hooters does not sell buffalo wings. They never have.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a buffalo wing. It's breaded, and that is not a buffalo sauce that consists of only two ingredients, Frank's Red Hot and butter.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else goes in your sauce, don't call it buffalo sauce.
Right.
You know, because you're misleading people.
Mm-hmm.
Buffalo style, sweet buffalo, you know, just give a qualifier with it. But what Hooters does, no one else tastes like theirs. And I like Hooters during March Madness.
Okay.
When I lived in Nashville, which is a big basketball city.
Yeah.
And people who don't know that, it's the biggest basketball city in the South. They love basketball there.
Not Miami? With the Heat?
That's NBA. That doesn't count.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
So. And, we're talking about college basketball.
Right. And but Nashville, you've got Vanderbilt. It's always been a strong basketball program because, you know, you can find 13 people who can get A's and play
great
basketball.
Medical college.
Right. Belmont University, which is where I went.
Mm-hmm.
We dominated NAIA before moving to NCAA 13 years ago. This is the first year Belmont hasn't won their conference and gone to the tournament, I believe. The Ohio Valley.
That's terrible.
Yeah. But, I mean, so Belmont's great. Lipscomb down the road that we called Pondscum because they were the rivals. You get this, right?
Oh.
Yeah, because you know the
kinda
people
like
at Williamson.
Auburn, Alabama.
Yeah, and the way Williamson always looked down their nose at Davidson people.
Wait a minute.
I wasn't an inner city boy. I don't know what your rivalries
now,
were.
Now, we live in a swamp. Davidson is in the swamp.
It's rag swamp.
True. It's in a rag swamp. It sure is. Because I'm going to tell you, when we had football practice at 6:30 in August, getting ready for football season, it was steamy. Hot.
Let me add to that the Sims experience with some 10,000 acres of nurseries and all of the insects that come with that.
Still, we had lizards crawling on us.
Oh, man. Just think about running those gassers at the end of practice. 100-yard dash. Bugs.
Extra protein.
You could see us dancing on the sidelines when we weren't in on a play during practice. Everyone's on the sideline dancing like this, getting gnats and no-see-ums off their legs.
They look like gnats. Our coach used to say, do not eat breakfast before you come. Eat breakfast when you get home. Because you'll get home early enough still, get back home, because that was 2-a-days.
Yeah.
And he said, you'll get to eat breakfast when you get back home after 2 or 3 hours of practice. Do not eat breakfast. And then we found out why.
Mosquitoes.
Huh?
Mosquitoes could smell it?
No.
Puking?
Puking.
Oh yeah.
Going back to the wings. What are your favorite wings? Wings.
And be a little more specific. Do you mean
like around town?
What Wemo's?
Wemo's
okay. In West Mobile. If you haven't been, I'll be honest, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, I haven't, but from what I've had, you know, of course, I'm partial to Butch Cassidy's.
Mm-hmm. The mistake wing.
The mistake wings.
When they have an individual wing, but I mean just in general.
Right.
It's going to be hard to beat Wemo's right. Because they do nothing but wings.
Cousin Vinny's.
Nice.
They cook theirs, they bake theirs, whatever, in sun-dried tomato sauce.
Oh, that sounds very good.
Yes, and they're huge. They're big old, what we call big old wings.
Give you another one. Mm-hmm. Sim's House of Pizza.
So I hadn't had
they
those.
Get rocked on their wings. And, dude, they're going straight forward with it. I mean, mm-hmm. It's nothing special, but Chris Brill gets the biggest wings mm-hmm. on the market, the jumbos. And, you know, they're run through the pizza oven partially a couple of times. That gets them partially cooked so they don't have. Because folks who don't know this, it takes about 15 minutes to get a chicken wing done in a deep fryer.
Yeah.
So if you go to a restaurant and they're cooking to order, it's minimum 15 minutes to cook it.
Yeah.
So what restaurants do is it's called partially cooking. You see how I'm doing that? And with wings, it's great.
Absolutely.
You do them about halfway, then you just get them ready, and then you throw them in the fryer. Now you got a 6 to 8 minute cook time, mm-hmm. which is much more manageable.
I could tell the difference too mm-hmm. When I'm eating them and trying to pull the meat off the bone.
And honestly, when you do it like that, you get a better quality wing too, mm-hmm. especially if the cooking method you start with is not frying. It's a drier thing, like Chris runs them through the oven.
Mm-hmm.
And the other option, and this is the absolute best, is to steam them. For that first half.
Yeah.
And get all the excess fat out of the skin and moisture out of the skin so that when you do fry them, that skin gets really crispy. Herschel Walker, you may have heard of him. He played football.
Mm-hmm. Great American.
Yeah. Great. Love Herschel Walker. He has Herschel Walker wings.
Oh.
And I have worked, and they only get sold to Herschel Walker wings restaurants in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But I got a sample bag one time. And that's what they do. They are steamed in a facility, then frozen, and then they fry them there. And that it really is. It's the crispiest skin.
So the steaming is like a parboiling.
Right.
Because I watch a lot of cooking shows, and especially when they're going to bake chicken.
Mm-hmm.
They'll boil it first, and then.
Yeah, you're trying to get out, because, I mean.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah, chicken. We ran into a situation at Christmas time at Rouse's where we couldn't get enough chicken wings for January 1st because all the COVID shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought chicken wings from Peru. And all the old meat guys were in there, and they're like, I don't know about this Peruvian chicken. I said, let me hip you to something.
Mm-hmm.
America has great beef. We have great pork, lamb. We have the worst chicken on planet Earth. There's no worse chicken you buy than any chicken you get at a grocery store in America.
That shouldn't be that way.
Because the way we raise them.
Yeah.
They never see sunlight. It's disgusting. It should be illegal, but Monsanto and your Pilgrim's Pride and your Tyson's, they throw enough money at Congress to not fix the regulations.
Mm-hmm.
So when that came out, I told everybody, I said, guys, I'm just getting the Peruvian wings. You know, and you and I are good about supporting local, not when it's a detriment.
Mm-hmm.
If Mexico has better chicken wings, I'm going to get Mexican chicken wings because I know the American chicken wings are not going to be as good.
Many, many years ago, Del Champs used to get their beef from Argentina.
Mm-hmm. Fine country for that.
Great. And a great byproduct of that is leather.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case you happen to go down there one day.
Argentina? Oh, yeah.
I used to have you some shoes made, a jacket, like for Leanna, she can have a purse made, and they'll have it made in a couple of days, and they'll ship it back.
That is called feedback, Mike.
Oh, okay. Speaking of feedback, got some sad news. Sad news. Lost an iconic entrepreneur this week. Lost Bill Armbreck, who owned the Brick Pit and started the Brick Pit many years ago, and he passed away to complications with his health and Bill, we're going to miss you, buddy, man. That was a great restaurant. Mm-hmm. I worked for Bill a few years, and people said on Facebook, everybody says, it's no better barbecue. So mm-hmm. I don't know what the future is to the current Brick Pit, or if they're going to ever get it open, and what this causes, but mm-hmm. hopefully they'll get it open soon, and keep his legacy going. Yeah. And what a great restaurant it was. And Bill was such a good person. And everybody loved his voice. He had that raspy dusty roads voice. But big Alabama fan. Big Alabama because all his family.
But I liked him anyway.
I liked him.
No, he was a great guy. Yeah. Bill got to know Bill a good deal. Mainly through you, mm-hmm. and then his struggles, you know, with his health were some things that I had gone through. Mm-hmm. So, Bill, we're going to miss you, buddy.
We definitely are. Godspeed, buddy.
Yep. 343-0106 if you want to get in on the conversation.
I drive a ribbon boss. The folks down in Georgia, they can't pick up their mind. You can give it to them sweet or spicy, and they'll say that tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow?
Get on the line. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Makes me forget that I'm
still. All right, Mikey, we're back from commercial break.
Yeah.
Before we do anything else, mm-hmm. I'm going through my memories on the Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my post from March 21st, 2017. This was right after moving to Sims.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, life in Sims. It's 1:30 a.m. and someone just rode a lawnmower through the neighborhood with four people piled on it. I sure hope they were drunk. I'd hate to find out there was a reasonable explanation for their actions. Say what you want, but you don't get this kind of excitement in Spring Hill.
That's right, you don't. Except with that time them coyotes went through there.
Did you see the the pictures that Devin Walsh posted on her Facebook page from WKRG yesterday of some goofball driving around Mobile?
Yeah, I posted on our Facebook page.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Well.
With the furniture. I encountered them the night before. They've been driving around for at least 2 days like that all over Mobile County. And I was.
Was this a pop-up living room or what?
I don't know, but when people were honking, because he was doing 10 miles an hour in a 55 on Lot Road.
Sounds like Mercedes Marge.
Yeah, at 8 o'clock on a Friday night. That's asking to get killed.
Yeah.
You know, folks, in case you don't know it, 40 miles an hour under the speed limit is just as dangerous as 40 miles an hour over the speed limit.
Yeah.
Because it's not how fast you're going, it's that difference in speed that causes the accident.
And can you see where you're going?
Everyone that passed this guy, he'd try and run him off the road and honk at him and flip him off and stuff. And I took great pleasure when I watched him driving down the road and he was behind me. I'd finally gotten around him and all of a sudden his headlights disappeared. And I went, what the heck? And I look back up and I see that sofa just rolling down Lot Road. And I laughed all the way home.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
And but that picture that
Did
you
anybody
saw,
get a
that was Friday night that I saw him. That picture you saw that Devin posted was yesterday on Hillcrest Road.
So what was the story? Did anybody
I don't know.
Interview him? Or
I don't know. She just no. Somebody sent the pictures into WKRG.
I could see if he was a traveling psychiatrist. You know,
did you see Green and Phillips commented?
Oh.
And it said, if you were injured by this individual, contact us. You will never need an appointment.
The guy's got no money to do that. Well, I mean.
And somebody else put in the comments, it said, dude, if you can afford two leather couches and an 80-inch TV, you can rent a truck for $20 from Lowe's to get it home.
That's true.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
And the TV, dude, is a rear projection. It's like a 25-year-old flat-screen TV.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I don't know how they got it on top of the car.
When I passed them, none of that was roped down. They were just holding on to it with their heads out the window trying to see around it because it's completely over their windshield.
Yeah. Is there like a particular area of Mobile that they're in? Or
all of it.
So I can avoid it?
All of the county.
I see some strange stuff.
I am
Sunday
sure
mornings.
That by this time, some member of law enforcement has pulled them over and let them know the couch is coming off here, that couch is coming off there, that TV's coming off. You can either drive it home or we'll impound it.
Yeah.
And
well, I see a lot of strange stuff at Schillinger's and Airport on Sunday mornings. I really do. And I've seen cars with stuff with clothes and junk in the car and on top of the car from the front hood to the trunk. And I know people have problems.
Right.
And everybody in the world tried to help these people, you know. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they ever got it. They just couldn't drive that car anymore.
Yeah.
And so, and I think a lot of people came to their rescue because people were making fun of them and people were wanting to be sympathetic and help them.
Right.
But sometimes they don't want your help.
Yeah.
They want you to leave them.
And I think that was the case with this nut job driving around with the couch on there. I guarantee you, you could have scraped up 20 bucks to rent a truck and you knew somebody who had a truck.
Now, if he'd had a deep fryer.
Well, it's different.
And a griddle.
And full of crawfish.
Yeah.
That Long makes pot. Sense.
I can see it,
but a couch total sense to me. On a compact car. It was a compact car.
I need the couch after I eat.
You don't eat on the couch.
Well, I could sit if I'm watching TV.
You know. I mean, there's a TV on there, so I don't know where you plug it in.
I'd help him carry it if he had a kitchen, partial kitchen. Here, put some on my car.
Mike's like, what kind of couch was it?
Well, I got a brand new mattress coming. I can't wait. But the problem is when they deliver it Saturday, they say, all right, we're going to deliver it between 7 and 5.
A.M. to P.M. or A.M. to A.M.?
A.M. to P.M.
Oh, so a work day. Yeah.
I'll be there. I'll be there all day. So.
And man, there is no way they know what time they're going to be there.
No, they don't.
Because you have purchased stuff and moved it yourself, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, this is going to be.
I won't ever move again. I won't ever move myself.
Oh, we'll get this couch in and we'll get it in there. And then you get there and you have to take legs off the couch and arms off the couch. And then it ends up taking 45 minutes just to get through the door.
But
that's why I don't begrudge these guys.
I pay people now. I'm too old to pick it up, but I'm going to tell you. I got a surprise for them when they get there.
Oh, no.
I got two other pieces of furniture down in the garage I need upstairs. They don't know. I hope they don't listen to the show. I don't think they do. But
I hope they don't tie it to the top of your car.
We got a Facebook comment that says, just started keto diet. Any suggestions? Yeah, don't diet. Eat a normal meal every meal.
And don't stress
yourself. And exercise. Period. That's it. That's the only way to do it healthy. Mm-hmm. Now, these low-carb diets, they have a purpose. If you're 50 pounds or more overweight, they're safe. If you're less than 50 pounds overweight, Dr. Atkins said this. He goes, you don't need this. This is not a healthy diet. Now, I haven't looked all into keto, but it's pretty much Atkins again. Mm-hmm. Just like it was 10 years ago, they called it the Mediterranean diet. It's the same diet, essentially. They'll tweak something here and something there to make it look like it's new, but it's essentially the same concept. You want to lower those carbohydrates. Well, folks, carbohydrates shouldn't be too low because fat is something you can live with, but your brain synapses not firing correctly is not something you can live with. You need carbohydrates for your brain to function properly.
If anybody needs to lose weight, I know I do. Mm-hmm. And I'd lost a bunch when I went into the hospital.
Yep.
And that wasn't a healthy way to do it. But I just eat less now. I eat, if I start feeling the least bit full, I stop eating.
Yep.
Stop eating. If it's good food I got, put it in a to-go box. That's what I sell is to-go boxes.
There you go.
Use a to-go box. Yeah. Help a brother out.
Right.
So I can go out and eat again somewhere. Like I went to David Rass University Boulevard. I mean, USA Heroes yesterday.
Heroes.
Those collard greens were so good.
were they pumping with the tournament going on?
They were busy. But you know what they had most of? Young kids that just left T-ball field.
Well, that's great.
Family, beautiful.
That's fantastic.
Beautiful families bringing their kids in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's mostly all boys, and boys being boys, and they were all over the place, but they were fun to watch. And it reminded me of when Brandon was a baby.
Yeah.
And playing T-ball and all that. So
I did not play the T-ball. I did 1 year Little League in third grade.
We didn't have T-ball back when I was coming up. They threw you right out there and with the adults. Get out of there. Here. Get back out there.
Rub some dirt in
it. Quit crying.
Yeah. I did, like I say, 1 year of Dixie Youth in third grade. 1 year of basketball with Sims First Baptist. I tried out at Sims Middle School and didn't make the team. Had no practice, didn't know what I was doing. Just, I'll play basketball.
That's why you didn't make the team.
That's why I didn't make the team. Then I went joined the church league and started getting the fundamentals, and then went back and beat everybody on our basketball team in 101. Not because I was good now. Because
you're an adult. You could beat some little kids now.
I mean, the same play, the guys that beat me out on the team. Because we weren't any good at basketball at Sims Middle School. It's not that I wasn't good enough to be the team on the team. It's just really what one guy, Stuart Hall, ended up going to Alabama later. Played football with him at Mary Montgomery, and he played on the basketball team there and scholarship to Alabama.
Okay,
he was quite good. And another guy, Kenny Muse, that I played football with, played at Southern Mississippi. But Mary Montgomery was okay at basketball. I understand now they're really
it's
good.
It's basketball season right now, and
March Madness.
March Madness going on.
The second best thing in sports next to college football.
Yeah.
I enjoy this more than the NFL. But it's a community thing.
Mm-hmm.
And most people in Mobile, we were talking about this last segment, Nashville's a big basketball town. I had no problems finding buddies to go, let's go grab a stool, a couple of pitchers of beer, and a whole lot of wings, and watch two or three games in a row.
See, I was back when Cliff Ellis was at South. I was at the auditorium every game, South Alabama, because they were always nationally ranked.
Yep.
It's a lot of fun back. The Jagger. I still have my Jag rag.
Jag rag.
I still got my Jag rag. Those were good old days. Peanut butter.
Look at them Jaguars.
Yeah.
Look at them Jaguars.
What's that Alec Naiman say?
Go Jag.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good one.
343-0106. Scott here. Stu's pretty doggone good at imitating us, Alec Naiman.
Oh, man, I appreciate that. All right, we're going to talk about where we ate when we come back.
Yes.
Where do you eat? Rude.
I get so tired of working all day. I want somebody who wants me to play.
On the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Michael, I went to Citronelle Friday.
Yeah?
Went up to the, they got that big golf course and a beautiful city park.
I used to play golf there all the time.
Yeah, never played golf there. So. If you drive past it, they have a big, beautiful lake and campground.
Mm-hmm.
And some friends of mine and I decided, Friday when my friend Kendra got off work at 3, we were heading on up to Citronelle. And we fished the little lake. My buddy Kevin and I each caught one bass, which was surprising. Surprising because we had just had a cold front come in. And generally, fish will go to the deepest part of the water when any kind of front comes in and just wait it out for a couple of days. But we got a little action on some small stuff, and we're checking it out.
Mm-hmm.
And we're probably going to go back there and camp there. The campground was really nice.
Mm-hmm.
And, I just wanted them to see it because I had stumbled on it a couple of months ago. It's a huge, wonderful park. It's probably larger than Langham. I mean, it's not the lake necessarily, but the whole park when you add in the golf course. There's a baseball field where they have tournaments and stuff that is state-of-the-art. Looks wonderful. And so I said, I don't want to leave Citronelle without us trying one of these fine restaurants here. And I had gone to Edna Faye's. I've eaten at the Iron Skillet my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that left two that I'd really heard about. One of them is this Bertier's, and both of them said, when we leave Tuscaloosa, our goal is to make it to Bertier's before they close so we can get their burgers. They're that good. Hand-patted.
No.
We didn't go there. So I'll be back up Bertier's. We went to, you're going to love it, Grill Billy's Barbecue.
I saw that.
Yeah. And it's a shack.
I like the name.
Yeah. The name is great. The barbecue was superb.
Mm-hmm.
It was outstanding. But my buddy Kevin was like, I really wanted to go to Rogers tonight. And I said, but we're right here. And his wife's like, yeah, honey, we're not going to know if this is good or not until we try it.
Yeah.
Turns out it was fantastic. Last night, he goes, I still want Rogers. So we went to Rogers. We had ribs two nights in a row. Two different great ribs.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. I had, and I want to say, I popped in because we're 11 o'clock at night. That's what I love about Rogers. Friday and Saturday, they're open until 4 in the morning. Mm. Get them ribs.
I'm glad we didn't open like that at the Brick Pit.
Yeah. But, and David, I see you hanging. We'll get to you in just a second. I go in. There's a line.
Yeah.
In a little wait. Right before me is a very large Mobile police officer who went in to order his dinner. D.D. Williams. Officer D.D. Williams. I had not met him before. He and I sat down next to each other. And it was about a 15-minute wait. And had the best conversation. He's a fine representative of Mobile law enforcement. It was everyone there seemed to know him and respect him. And we just, and you know, we were talking about things we did during the quarantine so that we didn't get cooped up and go crazy. Cause that's the biggest thing that, that law enforcement apparently is facing now is these people just, they thought they had to stay in their home and lock the doors, which was stupid. No one needed to do that. In fact, the best place to be is outside. And I told him, I said, yeah, man, I've been going to small towns and going to parks and hiking and stuff like that, getting away from people so they don't feel cooped up. And he's been going to the golf range, just hitting drives.
No.
Just hitting drives. No one else is around. There's plenty of room. And he just said, you know, it's getting bad now because people are just cooped up and they're just ready to get out. And now they got money.
They are.
To do it. So
especially now they got money.
Yeah. So these guys are working hard. And we probably need to talk to David Calamanetti, don't we? Calamanetti.
I saw David this week.
Yeah, I see it right there on the screen.
Yeah, I saw him this week. Hey, David, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning.
What you got going on? I bet you got something going on. You always got something going on. Tell us about it.
You know, I'm having a special breakfast this morning. Mm. I'm eating grilled Wagyu steak ribeye.
Poor guy.
From Hassel Cattle in Texas. They were our extras from our State Cook-Off Association cook-off yesterday in Montgomery. We are finally back to doing food sport events.
Excellent.
Good.
We had our first cook-off in Montgomery in conjunction with the SLR Rodeo, and it was a great event. We had 50-something teams from all over. And
wow.
Finally doing some cook-offs. Local team Travis Patterson came in fourth. Mm-hmm. Young couple out of Glencoe, Alabama. He won the ancillary, which was a bacon ancillary, and a golden ticket for the World Food Championship.
Wow.
And she won first prize in steak, which was apparently they've been working for years to do this. So really exciting. And as I said, it's the first of our cook-offs that we're doing. We've got a whole series we're doing with Bamacue Productions that'll be streamed and televised and streamed on, I think, 28 different channels. So food sport's back. I mentioned Travis in particular. He's helping with a local event. On May 1st, there is a steak cook-off grilling at the fort. At the Container Fort there at Spanish Fort Town Center.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a cool place.
Going to be a very special event. The promoter of that event, the event planner for that event, unfortunately passed away very suddenly, and she was a great person. I didn't know her personally. We shared 180 friends on Facebook. Heather Peppercorn, wonderful person. Everybody loves her. She got COVID and didn't survive, very suddenly back in January. So we stepped up and said, we'll help make this event happen. So it's May 1st. Once I get the details, I'd like to come on and talk more about it, but,
I
do want to give a shout out to Dade Paper Company. Bay Paper provided our paper supplies, very successful.
Excellent. Awesome. Excellent. And, you know, if you need celebrity judges, Mike and I will step up to the plate and fill in for
it. I like steak.
Yeah.
We're actually going to do an official steak SEA judging class on Friday before that event, on April 30th on Friday night. Because we had to change our mindset for SEA versus World Food Championship. You know, World Food Championship, you're judging a composed dish and all the elements. In the SEA world, everybody cooks to the same temp. You simply cook a steak at medium, and they determine medium. They've got a whole scale, and it's a different challenge. But again, we had some great cooks up there doing some good things. And most of these events will benefit a local charity and such. So the grilling at the fort is a benefit for the Friends of the Spanish Fort Library.
Okay.
And of course, we'll do a tribute to Heather at some point during the event.
Let me ask you a question, David.
What? Yeah.
And God, I hate that about her. I really do. She's a beautiful person, a beautiful woman, inside and out. But when y'all judge these, when y'all do these competitions, do y'all have? Is it just only focus on the steak, or do y'all do things with side dishes or sides or anything like that?
They have the steak competition is solely steak.
Yeah.
No garnish, no nothing. Just put a steak on the dish. Trim your steak. Present your best steak, and they slice it in half, and they judge half of it for appearance and texture, the other half for taste.
Okay.
But they do have ancillary events at each one. Like for this one, we had a bacon event. So there, and we're doing our next one that we're doing is up at Warrior, Alabama, at the Caverns, Rickwood Cabins up in the Warrior, and
That's
we're having
list.
Our ancillaries are seafood, shrimp. And a grilled cheese. Those kind of dishes. So that's where you get to be creative,
right?
But it's still challenging because you have to submit six samples, and they have to fit in the same 9x9 container. It's not like World Food where you have a whole presentation plate and samples.
Yeah.
But the young lady that she was second in bacon, did a. Now I'm forgetting what it was.
Did it involve bacon?
Never mind. It's gone.
It'll come to you later.
Her memory goes in a hurry.
It'll come to you later.
But they did some creative things. And then there were some that just did a bacon strip of candied bacon, and that didn't get very far.
Yeah, because it's been done to death. At this point.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, Michael Simon changed the world when he did chocolate-covered bacon.
We're going to do a lot of finalizing of plans for May 1st shortly, and I'd like to come on and talk more about it. And
absolutely.
And Heather and the good stuff that's going on in the food sport world.
Or all for it.
Talk about Heather just a little bit. Type of person she was, and I mean, she was just loved by so many, and your experience.
And as I said, I didn't know her, and I should have, and that's a regret. But some of my best friends were just knocked down by this, and it was very sudden. Her husband was very sick with COVID. He survived. But in the process, she caught it, it's heartbreaking. There was a post. She was posting her progress, and the next post was her husband saying she's gone, and I'm devastated.
Yeah.
But there are special people, and what it tells us is there are special people in this world. There are people we need to know, and we should never lose an opportunity to meet people and get to know people.
Yeah.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Thanks for giving me a few minutes.
Absolutely, David.
We'll talk soon.
This is going to be great. We're looking forward to it.
We're going to get you guys as part of that event. Maybe come out and do a remote or something.
All right.
Yeah.
Bye, man. Take care.
Bye.
All right.
Are we up against a commercial break, Leanna?
Yeah, we're coming up on one.
Okay. We won't start any new topics. How about that?
Okay.
But you could judge some steak, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Are you familiar with the ribeye?
I'm getting my taste buds back.
Are you familiar with a ribeye filet? Okay. You got your ribeye sitting there, right? You got that one muscle cap here on the left. Trim that off. Okay? That's the one that runs long about like that. Come around the other end, you got the point, and that little tip. You trim all of that off, and you'll end up with a piece of meat that looks just about like a filet.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching somebody cook them. They cooked the whole steak, and when presentation came, they cut all that off, and it's perfectly medium, even on the outside, because they already
cool.
finished it. Beautiful.
I could eat that.
3430-106. Get on in there.
can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back, just a half a mile from the railroad track. And you can get anything you want at Alice's restaurant.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All that cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess.
Live for the chaos.
So
number two, Ohio State going down in the opening round.
I don't know that kind of stuff. Careless.
Love that kind of stuff. What this has proven was that Ohio State is overrated in every single sport.
And probably so.
Yeah. I ain't one other place I want to talk about.
All right, go ahead.
El Milagro.
Yeah, tell me about that place.
That is, it used to be Mint, which I never got to eat at, but I understand for a good 20 years, one of the best Mediterranean restaurants in the area. But it was Spring Hill pricing, not West Mobile pricing.
Yeah.
So I never got to try it.
What about Midtown pricing?
Same thing as Spring
Hill.
Midtown are just hipster Spring Hillians.
Okay.
You're O-8ers.
Different age.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're all millennials down there. So.
Yeah, okay.
But it is Central American food, which is, was it Mexican? It's very similar. They have tacos.
Yeah.
Including lingua. And let me pull up that other.
They got taco. Lingua?
Yeah, oh yeah. It's street tacos. Don't go in there looking for a crunchy shell and some ground beef.
Like Taco Bell?
Yeah. They don't do, and those are gringo.
Cheddar cheese?
Those are gringo tacos. They're still wonderful. I still love crunchy tacos.
Mm-hmm.
They're great. There's no reason to quit eating them. But it's cabeza.
Cabeza.
The menu said cow head. Mm. I'm thinking cheek.
Yeah.
And it's very common in several traditions, Latin, Hawaii.
Jamaican.
Cook the whole head.
Jamaican.
Yeah, and you make tacos out of it, whether it be a cow or a pig.
Don't Jamaican does, they mainly do like goat.
It was terrific, though.
Yeah.
You should try it. But what is different about the Central American food? And I believe I talked to the lady that was serving me, and she was from, I believe, Honduras. But the restaurant is from El Salvador, the owners, or vice versa. But both countries are neighbors. Kind of like Ocean Springs and Pascagoula. But the cuisine is very similar. The thing that they have that is different from what they have in Mexico is called a papusa, which sounds like the papoose, the little backpack. That's pretty much what it is, a little purse.
Mm-hmm.
They take the same dough that they make tamales with.
Yeah.
But they put it on a griddle and cook it like a pancake. And then when it's done, they cut it open and stuff inside of it.
Kind of like a
pita bread.
Pita, only it's
a papusa. There is something very similar in Mexican cuisine called gordito, which is nothing like what Taco Bell calls a gordito, which is a pita with Mexican food in it. The gordito, which means little fat one. Is like the papusa, but it's even smaller, closer to a silver dollar pancake size. And they stuff it really thick, thus a little fat one. And you would eat it, you know, like this. It's like a slider version of a papusa.
Finger food.
Right. The other thing that comes with papusas is called curtido. It is a slaw, a vinegar-based slaw made with cabbage, carrots, jalapeno peppers, cilantro. You put as little or as much as you want on top of the papusa, and you just kind of shove it all in your face. I have loved papusas for decades. I used to get them in Nashville all the time. The Nolensville area is the Latino part of town, especially now. Every sign on it's in Spanish for about 15 blocks now. Also a very festive part of Nashville. I've always enjoyed that area. But you got to go try this place.
Yeah.
The first time we tried it, South Alabama's marching band was right across the street rehearsing.
Yeah.
So we got a free show with it, too.
Wow.
On the outdoor seating. It's just great little place.
Well, see, I love the idea of so many cultures, even though they're similar in ways, but they're still...
Yeah, the things that they have different.
Absolutely. And it's great that we have that in our community. And I do want to say we had agave the other day. It's in Mobile now. They had one in Fairhope. There's one on
Which
Oshel
is terrific.
Road.
It's Tex-Mex at its best.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's right there across from the what used to be Ward's hamburgers, which is what's that sandwich shop? You just mentioned it earlier. See, that's the thing that COVID does. It makes you forget about stuff.
So does Old Vid. Easy stuff. Old Vid does that to us too, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, Subway. Yeah. So, that's now an agave.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be a Mexican restaurant where they just had a mix of Asian and everything else like that.
Yeah, it used to be Los Arcos.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that was the same agave. I just thought they changed the sign.
It's agave. And
the thing about Los Arcos is every week they were posting for help. Because apparently, and usually when you see that, and you know one of the places it was legendary for mm-hmm. was the captain's table. You got an owner that fires people constantly.
Yeah.
And I understand that's what it was at Los Arcos, is that, you know, the first mistake, you're fired. And,
well, I've never met anybody who was Hispanic in there.
Yeah. And it wasn't just, they had Indian food on the menu too. It was
you can't be everything to, you can't be all to everybody. Yeah.
And that was wasn't that a Pizza Hut maybe years ago?
A long time ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Because the Domino's guys would buy their pot from the Pizza Hut guys. So.
Wow.
Man, I'll tell you, there used to be a Domino's pizza right there in that little corner shopping center. Buddy of mine, Lee Schwall, was the manager there. Mm-hmm. Lee's one of the legendary managers in Domino's history. Just great. Same hairdo I got. Shaved it. He had some little girls call up from Spring Hill one night and said, "We got our pizza, and there's a big, long hair, blonde hair running right through the middle." He goes, "You bring it here and show it to me, baby, and I'll give you two pizzas to replace it. Just, you know, all you got to do." And she comes in. He goes, "All right, guys, everybody come out. Take your hats off." She goes, "If you can point to which one it came from, I'll give you your two free pizzas." Lee was there bald-headed. He had four black guys working for him who all had shaved heads, too.
Yeah.
He goes, "You show me which one of us put that blonde hair that looks like yours on that pizza, and I'll give you two." He said they grabbed their pizza and just took off running. Spring Hill, you can afford that.
Yeah.
Let South do that stuff.
Yeah.
That's state school. They ain't got trust funds paying for them. Y'all can afford your pizza.
Yeah.
But the way he handled that was great. He said, and if they would have said, you know, then it must have been yours. He said, "I'd have given them two free pizzas. I'm not going to argue with them. That's wrong." He said, when he called, he said, and they just took off running, got in their BMW and went back to Spring Hill College.
Spring Hill. Spring Hill has got a great little pizza place up in there.
Cortland's.
Great little pizza place.
So many times, and then I'm just like,
I love the crust. The crust is makes it.
And let's point out that it's owned by Cortland Inge, who is a legend among chefs in this town.
He is.
For decades.
He is.
He is one of the really first chefs from Mobile. That had the training and put it to application at every one of his restaurants.
Yeah.
I mean, before Food Network, before any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one was Weishman. I mean, these two guys were pioneers of a modern real food, not the chain stuff. And America was a terrible country to eat in the 50s. All of those casseroles,
microwave meals.
Oh yeah, and the first TV dinners and. Yeah, James Beard saved America as far as food is concerned, and then it just started to steamroll. Then Julia came and took over, and Graham Care.
I watched a marathon of Julia last night.
Yep. Let me guess. Create TV.
Yep.
And they should hire.
It was all in black and white, which was so cool. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local, and support those servers. Tip them well. This is a hard time still right now.
And everyone is short-staffed. Be patient.
Oh, my God, they're short-staffed.
Whatever you do, provolone.